Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Bad, bad, and crazy martinis for you today. What else would you expect after a President Obama's State of the Union address, other than perhaps three bads or three crazies? But it pretty much lived up to our expectations. It was long. It was less than truthful. It was quite boring. So consider this your Cliff's Notes version. We watched it, so you didn't have to. Jim, fascinating description of our country last night in a number of ways. It's doing so much better than the vast majority of the American people believe. It's clear from what we heard last night that obviously the president's party is doing very well in the minds of the American people and must have done smashingly in the midterm elections. Because here's what he had to say about how the economy is doing after 6 years of his stewardship.
Our unemployment rate is now lower than it was before the financial crisis. More of our kids are graduating than ever before. More of our people are insured than ever before. And we are as free from the grip of foreign oil as we've been in almost 30 years. At every step, we were told our goals were misguided or too ambitious, that we would crush jobs and explode deficits. Instead, we've seen the fastest economic growth in over a decade, our deficits cut by two-thirds, a stock market that has doubled, and healthcare inflation at its lowest rate in 50 years.
Jim, other than the stock market, that last clip about the fastest growth, that refers to one quarter. He did balloon the deficits. It did crush jobs. So a very rosy depiction from a president who basically thinks the job is done in fixing the economy.
You know, there's a brief movie clip that I will not actually use, and I'll have to paraphrase, Greg, but it comes from the cinematic classic, My Cousin Vinny, in which his cross-examination of a witness consists of going to the jury, everything that guy right there just said is bull crud. And that would have been, I would have been very happy if there had been a, if Joe Pesci had given the response. I mean, just that short segment you played there, lower unemployment with an exceptionally low workforce participation rate. He said, it, you know, it, they warned us it would explode our deficit. Well, it did explode our deficit for the first couple of years of Obama's presidency. And he keeps saying, well, it reduced the deficit by two-thirds. Once again, Obama kind of says, I say the word deficit, and he's hoping people think the word debt. They're not the same. When you start with the biggest deficit in American history, more than $1 trillion, it's much easier to cut it, and, you know, to reduce that number when you make it start with the biggest number ever. When you're talking about healthcare inflation, because people are spending less on healthcare, because they're getting less healthcare, because they can't afford it, because they have higher copays, higher premiums, and higher deductibles. As long as you don't look at all the other facts, things look really good. It's a, you know, the world in Obama's head is a much happier place than where we live.
I believe our deficits are still higher than the last deficits in the Bush administration, which were not good, we should point out. But I believe those deficits were considered unpatriotic. So I'm not sure what exactly the adjective ought to be now, but I'm pretty sure we're still north of that. All right, on to the foreign policy aspect. And this is our second bad martini. Here's the president talking about, well, basically getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan.
For the first time since 9/11, our combat mission in Afghanistan is over. 6 years ago, nearly 180,000 American troops served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Today, fewer than 15,000 remain.
No mention of victory in either of those places, because obviously we know what's going on in Iraq, but apparently the president's convinced we're dominating that fight, too.
In Iraq and Syria, American leadership, including our military power, is stopping ISIL's advance. Instead of getting dragged into another ground war in the Middle East, we are leading a broad coalition, including Arab nations, to degrade and ultimately destroy this terrorist group.
Jim, the big line last night, the shadow of crisis has passed, just as the Yemeni government's getting overrun by jihadis.
My fellow Americans, we have ended combat operations in Afghanistan, and we're pulling out our troops, just like we did in Iraq. And we know how well that turned out. And he would say things like this, and people would, you know, hoping that the audience didn't make the connection, or, you know, I wonder how many, you know, casual viewers, the people who tuned in are like, hey, where's NCIS New Orleans? We're like, oh, well, the president says we're doing well. Great. We must be doing better. Also note, I think it was, isn't it, you know, that Jimmy Kimmel will go out and ask people, what they thought of the State of the Union the day before the State of the Union.
Yes.
And people will answer the question as if they watched it. So keep in mind, a good chunk of the public is not paying any attention to this whatsoever. The other aspect worth noting was that, so Obama said, in addition to what you mentioned about Iraq and Afghanistan, he made it sound like things were hunky-dory between us and Russia and Ukraine, when actually, no, they just took, you know, the Russians just took over the Donetsk airport. And as, you know, the Lithuanian foreign minister is saying, there's no movement on the ground, no political signs of concession from Russia. Richard Engel said that this whole thing is through rose-colored glasses, that they don't reflect the world we're living in, particularly discussing the fight against ISIS. And the assertion that the Iranian nuclear program has been halted is just flat out false, according to Fred Flights over in the corner. But other than that, it was pretty accurate. Right, Greg?
Right. Perhaps the most nauseating part of the speech came towards the end, where the president got into that sanctimonious loud whisper kind of thing that he does about how we should just, you know, get past our partisan differences and roll up our sleeves and just do the work that the American people want us to do. The only problem is the president couldn't help himself. This one's not even a montage of cuts. This is exactly how this played out, because the president goes from bipartisan healer to partisan hack pretty much instantaneously.
That's a better politics. That's how we start rebuilding trust. That's how we move this country forward. That's what the American people want. And that's what they deserve. I have no more campaigns to run. My only agenda, I know because I won both of them.
Jim, it was pretty clear watching that he was waiting for any little hint of a response there. And it was only probably about five people that clapped, but he just couldn't resist jumping down the throat and essentially making it clear to Americans that every paragraph that came before in that section was pretty much total bunk.
By the way, Greg, my understanding, according to people who were in the chamber that night, is that the applause came from the First Lady's box. I mean, she said, you know, how much she doesn't, you know, like, presidential campaigns are exhausting, you know, and so, like, if she or anybody else, like, here's the thing, I've run my last campaign, that's not really that much of an insult, right? I mean, there are much worse things you could say about the president, and you and I do just about every day. So the idea that this is some sort of, you know, and then I'm going to ad-lib this. Yeah, that was totally ad-libbed. And here's the thing. But this came right after the, why can't we work together? Why can't we put aside our differences? Can't we agree? Blah, 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 blah. Early on, you know, he met with folks in Capitol Hill, met with Republican congressional leaders. They made some argument, and Obama's response was, yes, but I won. And, as far as he's concerned, that's the alpha and the omega. That's the first argument and the last argument and the only one that really matters. But what's fascinating is that he totally did not, you know, said, I serve with a lot of you in this chamber. Well, Mr. President, not as much as before. Midterms and not, you know, fewer than you might think. I mean, I don't know about you, if you noticed it, Greg, but I noticed that the applause for all of his typical liberal applause lines was a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
This was a lot fewer Democrats in that chamber. The smallest Democrat numbers in Congress since the 1920s. To him, that doesn't matter at all. But his victory in two presidential campaigns against candidates that I think a lot of Republicans would say were perhaps a wee bit flawed, that gives him this never-ending, all-encompassing mandate that he can use in any, you know, conceivable circumstance. And it just is, you know, typically shameless. Here's the thing. Every year, everybody kind of groans about, the State of the Union, it's this outdated tradition. Why can't, you know, it's a very partisan speech. Yeah, you know, the networks don't like it because, you know, I want to know what's going to happen with Agent Carter on ABC, and I have to wait another week for that. The response never goes as well as the opposition party wants. I think this added a lot of momentum to it. I mean, it's a lame duck president. It's a, you know, like, what's interesting is it's treated as a really big deal inside the Beltway. Most people outside the Beltway forget it within, you know, an hour. And I think by tomorrow, by Friday, at the very least, no one's going to be talking about this anymore. It is a completely transient, brief-lived moment that I don't think really has much impact on our culture compared to, say, something like American Sniper.
Right. Hard to watch. And fortunately, there's only one more of those that we have to sit through. Jim, quick chaser. We've had three martinis, but a quick chaser to follow up on our crazy martini from Monday, the NFL has announced, or at least the sources have let it be known to the media, that 11 of the 12 footballs that the New England Patriots were using in the AFC Championship game on Sunday were significantly underinflated by about 2 pounds on average. And so they were underinflated. They're guilty. The question is whether it was deliberate now, and if so, what the punishment will be. Your reaction.
I'm ready to say, okay, clearly this is cheating. We all remember the Spygate incident when the Patriots played the Jets back in, you know, about 2007 or so. I'm now being informed that when the Patriots played the Jets in wet conditions in October and Tom Brady had a 103 passer rating. So I'm ready to vacate all the Patriots wins for the year, nullify them, send the Indianapolis Colts to the Super Bowl, and lifetime bans for everyone involved. Others may feel it's less necessary. Having said that, I do have a statement from Coach Belichick in response to the controversy and the claims that the footballs were improperly underinflated. It just says, we're on to Glendale 40 times in a row. We're on to Glendale.
Wow. Yeah. I think there was still a little too much inflection in your voice, but it's a pretty decent
That's
Belichick.
That's a good point, yeah. You got to work on that. This doesn't work terribly well over a podcast, Greg, but ask me any typical question that Bill Belichick can expect in the coming days.
How are you going to stop Russell Wilson's mobility?
That's his answer. He'll just kind of sigh, glare, and look at the next reporter waiting for the next question. I really want to see a sit-down conversation between Marshawn Lynch and Bill Belichick. And just for a staring contest, neither one of them would say anything to the other. You know, one would say, we're on to Glendale, we're on to Cincinnati. And the other one would just say, thank you. And that would just be the entire conversation.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Jim, we survived.
Isn't that a lot more fun to talk about than the State of the Union, Greg? If we could have skipped that topic, we would have done it.
So. That's what they pay us to do, though. Anyway, Jim, have a good day. We'll do it again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.